Okay, so at the end of his life, Yaakov gathers together his children. And Yaakov is there to, presumably, to give brachas, so it's described in Chumash. And when it comes to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Yaakov seems to speak very harshly to them. He critiques Shimon and Levi, he critiques Reuven. There are machloksim amongst the Mefarshim what exactly he says to them, whether as an example Shimon and Levi are being critiqued in general for their temperament, for their role in Mechiras Yosef, for their role in Shechem. It's not entirely clear, but it is fairly clear that they are spoken to, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, in fairly harsh terms. Akadekach, that Rashi even writes that when Yehuda, as it's his turn, that Yaakov perceived Yehuda like taking a little bit of a step back and getting a little bit nervous. And then he said, no, Yehuda, like, it's all good. But for Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, there does seem to be a little bit of a harsh, or what appears to be some harsh form of bracha. What's intriguing, as the Mefarshim point out, Rashi asks the question explicitly, is that in Parshas Vayechi, in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Chav Ches, so we're told, V'zos asher dibar lahem avihem, v'yivarich osam ish asher kevir chaso beirach osam, that each one of them really got a bracha. And the Mefarshim are bothered by a very simple question. Rashi says, they didn't all get brachas. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi did not get a bracha at all. So how can Chumash tell us, after it's all done, and here are each of the Avo, each of the Shvatim, they got brachas. They didn't get brachas. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each one of them got Musar, each in their own way. So we will share either three or four Mahalchim, depending on how much time we have. Rashi's Pshat is one that is very well known. Rashi says, Ein Hachinami. When Yaakov spoke to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, when he spoke to them in harsh terminology, that was not a bracha at all. However, Yaakov then reiterated brachas to them, that each of the Shvatim got particular brachas. But really, in the end, they were all included together, that everyone should get each other's brachas. So Yehuda will be more of the particular trait that he had, Lo Yashiv Yehuda, sort of leadership qualities, but they're all going to have them on some level. And Yisachar and Zvulun will have success as far as Talmud Torah and work, but everyone's going to have that on some level. They're going to excel in it. But says Rashi, this is a simple pshat of Rashi, where is the bracha of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi? So it's not explicit in Chumash that they got an individualized bracha, but rather after Yaakov gave them that Musar, he then came around and gave them a bit of a bracha. There is a different mahalach, which is an amazingly intriguing one. You have it, of all places, in the commentary of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid on Chumash. Now, there's been a discussion in Tshuva's and Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe, whether it's really Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, they're very well in Tshuva, but we will at least assume it's attributed to him. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid has an amazing insight. Shimon and Levi, it looks like he's critiquing them. They're people that have a little bit, you know, some anger issues, their temperament's not so simple. Therefore, Yaakov says, I'm going to divide you up amongst Klal Yisrael, Rashi explains, because, you know, to spread them out a little bit, because if they're together, it's very complicated. To have all of Shimon together, all of Levi together, it's complicated, so we spread them out a little bit. Yehuda HaChassid says that's actually not a critique at all. That if you look at them, there's actually a bracha there, and that we're misreading it if we assume that's really a critique. We'll save Reuven for a different time. But Shimon and Levi, there's really some sort of a bracha there. Where's the bracha there? He's saying, Klal Yisrael needs people who can fight. And Klal Yisrael needs people with a certain kind of temperament. And Klal Yisrael needs people to survive with a certain set of skills. And therefore, what was happening was as follows. We need you. You're great. In economy, it could be what we did with Shechem wasn't necessarily so ideal. It could be what you did with Shechem, the way you handled it wasn't so great. But a lot of what you've done has really been fantastic. And it could even be what you did with Dina and Shechem was really not that bad at all. So why am I going to spread you out? Well, because all of Klal Yisrael needs some people like you living in their midst. That in order for the Umos HaOlam to be scared of us, in order for other nations not to come, not to attack us, we need people like Shimon and Levi. In that sense, the second Mahalach says, it wasn't really a Klala. It wasn't really harsh words of Musar. It was rather something else. There was really a bracha there that he was offering them. It was really a bracha that he was offering them. Shimon and Levi, you got your special. And we need what you have. We need it Akadekach. I'm going to have to spread you out. I'm going to have members, people like you, throughout Klal Yisrael, because if you're Shimon and Levi, you're limited Shimon here and Levi here, so only Shimon's area and Levi's area are going to be protected. We want everyone to be there. We want the Umas HaOlam to be scared. We want them to feel like there's a certain kind of safety which occurs there. So suggests the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and there are others in Mefarshim have a similar idea. The Or HaChaim has a very beautiful idea. It's one that you have elements of in general in Torah's Chassidus. In Torah's Chassidus, you'll find this sometimes, that when it comes to the Klala, so there are always tzaddikim that will try to explain how what seems to be the Klala in Parshas Kisavo, what seems to be the Klala in Parshas Bechukosai, if you know how to read it correctly, you could like really see brachas there. That even within the Klalas, even within the harsh terminology that someone uses, sometimes implicit within there is a bit of a bracha. Says the Or HaChaim, when Yaakov came along and Yaakov critiqued Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, it looks like a critique because it was a critique, but built in to that tochacha was also a source of bracha. So we will here describe how he says that in regards to Reuven. But Reuven says something very interesting about the pasuk. Reuven, bechori ata, you are my bechor. I don't get it. Isn't everything that Yaakov did to remove the bechor status from Reuven? That Yehuda is going to be the manhig, and Yosef is going to get Pishnayim, Ephraim, Menashe, Karubim, Shimon, Yuli. I don't get it. Where exactly? Why are you calling Reuven Bechoriata? You're not the Bechor at all. So says the Or HaChaim, if you learn it really, really closely, you find in the following very beautiful insight. Yaakov is saying to Reuven, you still have a Din Bechor. It is true that in the Mikdash, Levi is going to be working. And it's true that Yehuda is going to be the manhig. And it is true that Yosef is going to get the Pishnayim. But Reuven, you still have a Din Bechor. What is the nafka mina that you still have a din bechor? An idea in the Sifri in Parshas Dvarim in Kisvei Ha'ari. We spoke about this years ago. We learned Maseches Bechoros. And that is that the Chazal understand the Asida Avod is a tachzor lebechoros. That eventually, even though Sheva Levi is doing the Avoda now, eventually the bechors are going to do the Avoda again. Reuven Bechori Ata. You're going to have a Sheiches to the Avoda and based on Mikdash again. You are not going to be Sham Tziva Es Habracha. Al derech amrim asida avoda shetachzol choros. In a certain sense, Reuven, you are still the bechor, and you will still have there will still be nafkaminas from your bechor status. And there is a machlokas. It comes in Kisvei Ha'arizal. It comes in the Or HaChaim here, Yom Sinai, and others as to whether when the bechors take over again. After the Or HaChaim, that relates partially to Reuven and his bechor status coming back again. Whether Levi will no longer work in Beis Hamikdash. Or Levi, at that point in time, will still work in Beis Hamikdash, but alongside Reuven. Be that as it may, where is it seems to be tochacha and klala. How can Chumash call it bracha? Mahalach number one, Rashat. They're including in the brachas of all the other brothers. Mahalach number two, not really a klala at all. It's really a bracha. And we described it as far as Shimon and Levi goes. Rabbi Yehuda Chas, if you know how to read it well, they're fiery people, but we need fiery people. We need people that can defend themselves. We need people that can have and maintain certain standards. And the third, the Or HaChaim, it looks like klala, but implicit in the klala is really a bracha. I'll make a fourth suggestion. You can take it or leave it. It's one that I happen to believe in very, very deeply. And that's the following. Maybe we have to redefine a little bit what a bracha is. And maybe the fact that we have the question stems, at least you can take it all derech drush, stems from a misunderstanding as to what bracha is. Bracha, some mefarshim suggest, at a Rebbe in high school, such as at length, bracha is something which you give to, again, the way the Nefesh HaChaim, the Rashba, and the Maral talk about it, a bracha makes you bigger. A bracha is something which makes you bigger. That's why bracha, osios, the Maral says, beis, reish, and chaf, 220 and 200, it's all about doubling and all about making something bigger. That's what a bracha really is at its core. A bracha, again, my Rebbe high school argued, it's something which helps you really achieve your maximum potential. It could be that one of the greatest brachas that Yaakov could ever give Reuven, Shimon, and Levi was to straight up be honest with them. To not sugarcoat things and not make it seem like everything is always perfect and not make it seem like everything you do is always wonderful, but to be honest. Reuven, here is where you messed up and this is what you have to rectify. Shimon and Levi, this is who you are, this is your teva, here are mistakes that you have made. Why is it a bracha? It's a bracha because those are the kinds of statements which you need if you're ever going to truly become great. If a bracha is a lesson of riboy, as some of the Rishonim point out, if a bracha is about making you bigger, greater, holier, and more, so Yaakov gave them, wow, did he give them a bracha. He could have said, Shimon Levi, you know what, skivalt, you're so holy, everything is always good. But that wouldn't have been the real bracha. The real bracha was to give them insight into who they are, into who they were, to be megala to them what their struggles were going to be. And by doing so, he was giving them a tremendous bracha. The bracha wasn't, now you can become greater. And sometimes what looks like, at some level, a little bit of a klal, what looks like tochacha, at its core, stems from ahava. And at its core, can have the components of bracha built in and part and parcel of what it really, really is and what it's supposed to be. In that sense, the brachas, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, four mahalchim. Mahalach number three plus the thought. Mahalach number one, the Mahalach of Rashi, they did get extra brachas. Mahalach number two, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, it was great. We need people, different temperaments. We need people, different styles. Mahalach number three, the Or HaChaim, it was a tochacha, it was not a bracha, but built into there. Reuven, bechori ata, you're still a bechor, you'll still have things. The Or HaChaim explained similarly for Shimon and Levi, how you could explain on some level that there's a bracha implicit in there to spread them out and for them to still have certain traits. And Mahalach The last mahalach we were suggesting, well, there is in a certain sense a certain kind of bracha that Yaakov was able to share with the Shvatim in terms of being honest about who they really are. Rav Hirsch emphasizes the fact that even when the brothers are critiqued, they're critiqued in terms of their actions, not in terms of who they really are at their core. And that fits with this idea, I think, in a certain sense. If we're defining who you are and you're limited and defined by it entirely, so in many ways you're stuck. What Yaakov was saying was these were the behaviors and the choices that you made that were problematic, like the Gemara and Brachos and Daf Yud with Bruria and Rav Meir. These are the behaviors that you did. It's not who you really are. He was giving them the Pesach to be able to achieve their true and real greatness. We're all gifted different traits and different abilities, and one of the greatest gifts we can ever get in this world is someone letting us know and helping us gain insight into what those traits and what those abilities really are, which is to understand ourselves well. And if we understand ourselves well, we'll be able to experience, Be'ezras Hashem, tremendous riboy, growing into becoming greater and greater people and being able to actualize all of our potential in the most beneficial way possible. Yeah, Moshe Metzai.